Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton, and we are here. Hey, vacation season's over, folks. It's football, and it's going to be wall-to-wall football on today's podcast. We are here with Mr. Tom Crawford, longtime sports talk radio personality out of East Lansing, Michigan. He's on Press Pass with Jack Ebling on Fox 47 in Lansing. He's the founder of the Crawford Podcasting Network, a proud U of M alum, and a weekly podcast participant here on the Wolverine Podcast. Tom Crawford, welcome back, and welcome back to football season.
Yeah, so I'm up north, but you know, in this business, as you were in the UP, I was in northern Michigan, Frankfurt. Yeah, you know, we make our vocation a vacation, right? So what did I do sitting at the end of the dock in Upper Herring Lake? I just sat there and I read the Wolverine. I mean, on this beautiful summer day, I was so engulfed in this. I'm going to tell you why, JB. I mean, shameless plug for your incredible publication, but I have to. And I'm telling you why I like this, folks. These bios, this takes me back. Player bios takes me back to the old days. Remember the press guide, the old press guide that they used to send out, JB?
Yes, sir.
On your longtime media days. Well, I have, okay, this is the 1970 press guide. And as I was in eighth grade, or I think going into ninth grade. And as a season ticket holder, they would send you the press guide. And it had player bios in it. So I would devour, just engulf this press guide and know every ins and out of every player, the back. I think I had Jim Brandstetter sign this thing for me years ago because he was a junior that year. But kudos to you and the staff at the Wolverine. I mean, this is one of those things you can't put down. And I'm not just saying that, blowing smoke. I was sitting at the end of the dock. My wife saying, "Okay, can we look at the scenery? Can we stroll Lake Michigan, this beautiful beachfront at Frankfurt, the Frankfurt Pier, without you putting, you know? Can you put the Wolverine thing down?" No, I can't. I can't. You know, I can't. So that a true confession.
Well, that's great, and you can still get your copy if you have not yet. I appreciate the plug, but click through at the Wolverine website or. By going through the magazine, you can call 800-421-7751. They'll get you hooked up with a subscription or the football preview. And again, Tom Crawford, thanks for that. But let's jump right into what's in that magazine in terms of the 2022 Wolverines. One of the things that everybody is talking about is quarterback, as always. And I know that you have avoided this topic somewhat of late. We've talked a lot about it, but it's going to be talked about. We're getting reports out of camp and how great J.J. McCarthy's looking, and some people speculating as to, okay, how soon is it going to be before the coup, before he takes over? Here's my take, just going in. I think it is a fabulous situation for Michigan football that it has a quarterback in Cade McNamara that guided the Wolverines to a Big Ten championship, decisive victory over Ohio State. They put 42 points on the board. They win the Big Ten, and they get their first ever playoff appearance. And you've got a backup quarterback from last year that is so good that he can push McNamara and have people talking like they are. You can't come up with a better situation than that, and two guys pushing each other.
No, you're exactly right. You framed that perfectly. You know, it's not, you know, and I don't look at it as a quarterback controversy. I call it a quarterback depth celebration. I mean, that both of these guys are that talented. And we saw, you know, I know folks of my agenda of wanting J.J. McCarthy to have at least an opportunity to compete maybe half a game in the non-conference slate, the first three games at home, is because, you know, we got lit up with that Roman Wilson throw, you know, that post corner that he throws to Roman Wilson that, you know, goes, you know, starts trending on Twitter and everything and goes viral. I mean, it was a great throw. It was one throw. I mean, it was in practice. But my point is, it shows you that the competition is real. I think it's a great thing. But what I want to see is both have an opportunity under fire in the first, you know, relevant game. I'm talking about the Maryland game at home. And then obviously more so than that, that tough road opener at Iowa. I mean, on October 1st, when you're really going to find out what Michigan's all about.
Well, if I wanted to set you off, I would say, fortunately for the Wolverines, they have three games in the non-conference where both quarterbacks should be able to see extensive time without the game hanging in the balance. But that touches on a sore non-conference schedule subject.
Well, I mean, it's like, yeah, I know, I know I rub people the wrong way making that issue with Jim Harbaugh, but you know, when those three teams are, I mean, in this round, and these are preseason projections, if you will, but in a lot of these platforms, I've seen a consistent Colorado State ranked 90. There's 132 teams, I think, this year in Division One FBS. So I think we had Colorado State 94, and I think we got Hawaii around 121, and if I'm not mistaken, I think UConn's ranked 132. So between 94 and 132, those are the three teams you're opening with at home. So in my opinion, you're kind of playing a little fool's gold. You really don't know what how good you are, but at least mechanically, get these guys in. I'm talking about back to the quarterback issue. You know, have JJ in there when the game's still on the line in more than just one play on a gimmick play and then have him come out. But have him in there under fire and see what he does. I think this is a great opportunity. You're going to win these games. And I think Michigan is going to beat Iowa. I'm fully confident. I say it again. I'll just throw my nugget out there. They're going to go 11-0 into Columbus. And then I think they're going to lose. And I think they're going to be penalized for that soft schedule. That's why I'm lamenting this, because I think that soft schedule in non-conference, I'm not having a Power 5, is going to hurt them when it comes to CFP announcement.
All right. Well, I just think that if you are 11-0, and if you have obviously then beaten Iowa on the road and beaten Michigan State and also Penn State at home, you're going to be ready for that Ohio State game regardless. And, you know, then it's on you to go into Columbus and win it. One more thing about the quarterbacks before we move on, though. Everybody sees the upside of J.J. McCarthy, the scrambling ability, the strong arm, the ability to take what looks to be a broken play and turn it into a big play. It is my considered opinion that some of the greatest upside of Cade McNamara can be overlooked in this whole argument. The ability to quickly see and diagnose what the defense is doing and playing the Tom Brady-like in that respect. The fact that he threw it to the other team only six times. So one glaring one, we saw it in the Ohio State game. But just some of the things that I think maybe get undervalued in this whole argument. I'm not saying by you. But your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you mean by me. No, I mean, I agree with you, John. I mean, listen, I'm not diminishing at all his skill set and what he accomplished last year. And I like what he said. He said some really nice things to the media this week about JJ that really haven't, you know, he hasn't really talked about JJ coming off the spring or even last year. I mean, I didn't really hear him reference much the competition. I thought it was good that he referenced how talented JJ is. That's a good thing in my mind, to be respectful of who you're competing with. It's just like the two tight ends, you know, it's like a team thing, you know, with Scooney and you know, Eric Gall. I mean, they talk like they're on the same you know, on the same page and they're so supportive of each other. I'd like to see that at quarterback, and maybe it'll happen. And that goes both ways, not just, I mean, it goes back the other way too with JJ talking about Kay. But I mean, one glaring thing with me, I mean, Kay McNamara throwing a ball in the back of his own lineman's helmets a few times. I mean, these are things that I'm thinking of. How can he eliminate that from happening? JJ doesn't do that. I know that's just one aspect of the game, but I mean, that's just, it's something that I think it's gonna have to get fixed. And regardless, it's a great situation at quarterback.
Absolutely. It's an area of growth that you mentioned, and that I know Cade said his footwork has improved greatly over the offseason. We'll see how that plays into it. Great situation for either of these guys and both of these guys, because they're going to be behind one of the better offensive lines in the nation. We think about three starters back who understood and understand completely what physicality can do against an Ohio State. They lived it. They played it. And so they understand that. You've got a new center in Oluwatimi, who is a Remington Award finalist last year for Virginia. You can't ask for much more than that as a plug-in. And then you've got Trevor Keegan plugging in over at right guard, most likely. And this young man, he's a man. He's well over 300 pounds. He's got the nasty beard, at least in his his photo on the roster. And so I think that these guys are going to be very well set to not only protect the quarterbacks, but once again lead to a highly effective running attack.
Yeah, the Olu, that addition, I mean, we saw this post-game in spring practice, how everybody was talking about how he fit in so well. And he got to speak in front of us, if I'm not mistaken, going back to April. Early April when we had that opportunity. Yeah, I think Zach Zenner is going to have a great year. I mean, these are household names now for people that follow Michigan football that have played a lot of football. Ryan Hayes, I mean, my God, the guy's played a ton of football, and he's going to be in that vital left tackle position. I mean, he's going to have a good year, and Carson Barnhart and all of them. I mean, I think that there's, when you have that much experience, and then Sherrone Moore now is in his, if I'm not mistaken, he's 5 years on the coaching staff, but this is year two as the O-line coach, as well as his coordinator responsibilities. And I think that's a big deal when you get into your second year. I mean, that whole chemistry between your group, your room and you, the coach, and how he gets better at he's getting better. And I think the confidence also that line created, I mean, at the end of the year, I mean, the experts are saying that's the best O-line in the nation. Who would have thought that just a few years ago when the offensive line was a weakness at Michigan?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that with what they have now, it plays into the different culture that you see at Michigan over the last couple of years. I think they've fully embraced the physicality aspect. We know that Sherrone Moore came in last year. He's not depicted here, but he has been the a key element for this. He's now a co-offensive coordinator. He is one of those guys that the players love, but also respect, and they have bought in to the whole physicality aspect. So I think that they have plenty of reason to be excited. Well, we're always in a time of year where there's a ton of hype. There's no question about that. And part of that hype, incredibly, has been coming from the head coach. Because you were down there as well as I was in Indianapolis and listening to Jim Harbaugh say that at tight end, Eric Alls' greatest competition for tight end of the year will be from Luke Schoonmaker and vice versa. So he's basically saying he's got the top two tight ends in the country. Talk about that. Is that hype or is that reality?
No, that's reality. And Schoonie was interviewed, I think, a couple days ago, if not yesterday. And he looked. Scooney was terrific in the Big Ten championship game down in Indy. Some people think, they think back to flashbacks of these one particular kid or another. You think of Eric All, you think of the Penn State game, you think of the play of the year in that kid. And I just think that depth, and like I mentioned before at the start of our podcast, John, just the chemistry of those two kids and the way they talk about the others in the room. There's some depth in that room. Tight end is a great – Michigan, great teams of the past, and I'm, old man alert here. I'm going to talk about the 70s a lot, but, from Paul Seal to Paul Seymour, Eric Kattis, the list goes on and on of great tight ends that Michigan has had. Those great teams all had great tight end play, and now they got it every snap because some guy takes a blow, and there's situational situations, where maybe two tight ends at a balanced line, or, you got one guy in, one guy out. It doesn't matter. You're not going to miss a beat with either one of them. I'm super excited of what's going on at tight end. And that adds to the offensive line. Those are blockers.
Yeah, no doubt. This team of offensive line and tight ends together should be absolutely dynamic. I'm holding withholding judgment on the best two in the country until I see them against the likes of Penn State again. And obviously, we saw what Eric All could do at the end of that one last year. But Michigan State, Ohio State, they'll have plenty of chance to underscore what their head coach had to say about them. I got another hype or reality for you. That would be for this defense. And I know that Mozzie Smith is absolutely sold on this defense. He challenged a question that I posed down in Indianapolis by just loudly saying, "Hey, keep doubting. Everybody on this."
I remember that question. Yeah. Did a good job with that.
He's got that edge to him. It's more than just attitude. The attitude reminds me of Aiden Hutchinson a year ago when I talked to him. It's like, okay, wait and see. You can question our defense, wait and see. And this year it's Mozzie Smith carrying that banner, but not just carrying that banner. He's bench pressing 550, as I understand it, and leaping more than 40 inches for a man his size. Are you kidding me? Just today they had him doing plyo out, and he's leaping up these steps at Michigan's workout facility. It's ridiculous. And I think they have a lot to prove on defense, but man, I think they've got a lot of parts.
Two things that there's some 2 years in a row kind of things. 2 years in a row now, Jim Harbaugh was very, very competent, almost with swag and kind of a looseness to him, brimming with confidence about both sides of the ball about this Michigan football team. And also 2 years in a row is a kind of a chip on his shoulder, a little bit like Michigan State players carry around on this Michigan defense. Doubt us. Keep like Aiden Hutchinson. And I still think Aiden Hutchinson is going to have a hell of a lot of impact on this year's team, even though he's over in Allen Park, making himself an NFL star. This is a good thing. When you have players pass a baton on and they're gone and they're, you're seeing that residual impact. I liked all what you talked about, what we saw down with Mozzie down in Indy. I think that's a good thing. And once again, we go back to the names. You start looking at the two deeps, even three deeps on this Michigan defense. There's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football, a lot of snaps last year that they're only going to build on that experience here in 2022.
One of those key guys that played a lot of snaps last year is Junior Colson, the linebacker who played a ton as a freshman and who is now being prominently mentioned in regard to blitz packages for this team. We know about you're replacing the ends. You've got guys like Mike Morris that are coming along off the edges. But Junior Colson, we've heard about in blitz packages, and the fact that new defensive coordinator Jesse Minter whereas he comes from the same line as Mike Macdonald, and
yes,
you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be similar there. One of the things that might be different is them getting after it a little bit more on the blitz. And just your thoughts about what you've seen out of Colson and the notion that Michigan might make part of this tweak more blitzes in the overall package.
Yeah, and I think part of that, you know, that they want to be disruptive up the middle. I mean, what you do, I mean, the way to take it next level, if you will, for Michigan is to go, is to look at the, well, look what Georgia did to them. I mean, Georgia, you know, got pressure up the middle where Tom Brady hates it, and Cade McNamara definitely hated it. He was retreating, and it was not being disrespectful to him. I mean, that's where Georgia really threw Michigan's offense off, pressure up the middle. And I think that's what Michigan is trying to accomplish this year, is up the middle. And that's where the blitz, you know, up the middle kind of, you know, from your Mike linebacker. I really think that they learned a lot from the CFP last year. And Jesse Mentor, you talked about his background with the Ravens. I don't know, he's 4 or 5 years there. I mean, then I think he went to, what was it, Vanderbilt between that for 1 year. But I just think the way the defensive guys talked about him in Indy, that's an adjustment again. Here we go again. We're having to adjust to a new coordinator. But I think it seems it's very similar, obviously, with the same DNA as Mike Macdonald with the Ravens. So I don't think the adjustment's going to be that challenging. But, yeah, they got to be disruptive up the middle. And Chris Jenkins, some of these other folks really got to step up and be dominant, and that's how you can stifle a good offense.
One of the things they do not have to adjust to this year, just as we wind this down, is a new punter and a new place kicker, because what a comfort zone when you're talking about Brad Robbins and Jake Moody. These are guys that are veterans. They have performed. They are back. Had very, very solid years last year. And when it comes to special teams in a place like Iowa, in games like against Michigan State, as we have discovered, much to Michigan's pain at times, special teams is absolutely essential. I just think it's a huge thing to have those two guys back.
That's, you know, I double down on that. Jay Harbaugh's got licking his chops, you know, running special teams again. These guys can set the defense up for success. I'm talking, you know, Robbins with his punting. I mean, and Moody with his kicks. I mean, he was pretty dependable, and that's huge to have that back. And a lot of teams struggle. I mean, Michigan's had those years over the year where they're breaking a new kicker, breaking a new punter, and those early on, there's, you know, bad happenings out there. I think that's going to be a very dependable thing. And I'm excited about those two guys back. I didn't necessarily think they were both coming back, you know, but it's great that they are. And that's a big plus for Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just 2 years ago, Jake Moody lost his job and was battling hard, but he came up with a big year last year. And I'll tell you what, there's nobody that you'd rather have. If it came down to Iowa and a 24-24 tie late in that game, then to see Jake Moody lining up for a 38 or a 48-yard field goal, for that matter. We're not anticipating it coming down to that after what we saw in Indianapolis, but we've both been to Iowa City, and we know that sort of thing can happen. So, hey, we could do this all day long, but I just want to get any final thoughts from you after this first week or so of training camp. Anything that jumps out to you that you want to mention?
Well, I don't know. I mean, 4 or 5 days of practice in, it's really hard to tell, but I like what Jim Harbaugh's talking about his defense. I had a schedule, because that's what I've been worried about, the defense. This offense has got, you know, skill set out the wild. I mean, my word, you're looking at wide receivers. You think the depth at running back. I mean, you know, two really good players back at running back. And I just think that I'm not worried about the offense and the quarterback we talked about, but the defense is what I worry about. And the way Jim's talking about this defense, it sounds really sincere, legit. It's just not fluff. And he really doesn't set himself up for failure, I don't think. He was very competent last year, like I talked about, and it would turned into fruition. So hopefully he's 2 for 2 on that this year. So I'm excited with his positive evaluation of the defense. That's what has got my attention.
Final thought. It's fine. It's perfectly okay to worry about the defense. Just don't mention it to Mozzie Smith.
You live from that.
He's Tom Crawford, great guest every week. We will be doing this right through the football season and beyond. Tom, thanks for being with us, and we will talk again next week.
All right, JB, it's great to be back in the saddle, and hey, it's stretch drive just a few weeks away. I'm excited about it. Thanks for having me on.